Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
I'm joined this afternoon by Joe and also by Kelly and Stephen Mason. And as part of our eye condition series, we are talking today about retinopathy of prematurity. Kelly, do you want to explain what that is, first of all?
Yeah, basically, it was originally called RLF, retroventral fibroplasia. So some people may still know it as that. And I found out yesterday, or we did in our
doing a bit of research.
That in the last month, for the severest form of it, some doctors are referring to that name.
Okay,
it's that's
interesting.
It's sort of five categories.
Yeah, they seem they've gone back to it again.
But for most, it will be referred to as ROP or retinitis of prematurity.
Retinopathy of prematurity. Interesting. We didn't know that, but
So to do this, we've found out something as well.
Yeah.
Excellent.
How premature were you both?
Well, I was 12 weeks early, so I was born at a nice, healthy £2.15. And obviously decided I needed to go on a diet because I decreased to £2.08. That was pretty mad.
And I was born at 22 weeks gestation. And I was under £1 in weight. And was in an incubator for 6 months as a result.
Goodness. Can you explain sort of why you became visually impaired? Why you both, because you both got the condition, ironically.
Basically, there's kind of two parts to it. So obviously with very preterm babies and extremely preterm babies, which we both fall into the category of the latter, me at the most extreme, smallest end, and Stephen on the cusp of the higher end of extreme, verging on, you know, preterm.
Yeah.
Sort of. So, yeah, we were opposite ends of the scale, as it were, but within the same category, really, which means that we have category 5 plus ROP. And basically, because the parts of the brain and the retina and the blood vessels that go to the eye aren't formed properly at that level of gestation, respectively, for both of us, there's damage there. So there's a level of brain damage, optic nerve, you know, development damage and so on.
Right. And basically, what also happens is that when the damage occurs, your extra blood vessels try and grow to try and protect your eyes, don't they?
What happens when you're, obviously, because being that preterm, you need oxygen therapy.
Of course.
So when you're put in the incubator, in our cases, they, unlike now where they can modify it much more accurately, we were given too much oxygen. The structures carry on developing while you're in the incubator, obviously, because, but then it's not the same as being in the womb. So these blood vessels that Stephen's saying, basically they grow all, imagine a tree branch with twigs coming out in all directions,
and
they're all disorganized and out of shape and out of sync. Mm-hmm. So you get blood vessels shooting out where they shouldn't be, and it pulls on the retina and it can damage or, in severe cases, detach them completely and shatter the whole nerve system.
I mean, in mine,
you know,
and Kelly's
retina.
In mine and Kelly's cases, and other people who are in, you know, at the very severe end, certainly with us, we've got both that our retinas were detached completely, and they pretty much, and then it all scarred up, and it must have looked horrible. But,
and it's resulted in us having our eyes removed.
Yeah.
For people on, obviously, there's varying degrees. Category one being the least affected, which is somebody may have, you know, a level of vision. They may have, you know, a level of partial sightedness, and need, you know, support with visual aids or something.
Yeah.
Right down to us guys who have no vision and have no prospect of being able to have vision and have had our eyes removed as a result through later complications which are associated. Yeah. And then there's obviously the scales in between.
Yeah. So did you both go through specialist education?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Yeah,
yeah, we did. I went to a mainstream school for a while because I was in a situation where they were trying to find a school for me, and a local school at the time, which was a convent school, sort of had a nursery attached, and they said they would take me on. But I ended up having a one-to-one helper, and for me at the time, I missed out on quite a lot, because basically, as much as they tried their best, they didn't always know quite what to do. So if I was doing something, I was a bit stuck on what I was doing, the helper would go, right, come on, and they'd cart me outside to do something else, you know,
like,
and
to play or something.
Yeah,
not
to play.
Not,
and
you wasn't working with the rest of the class, were
no,
you?
No. And so I had a one-to-one, and then it was sort of decided eventually that I would get more opportunities from going to specialist education, and you
also
know,
your parents didn't want you to go to board when you were young, did they?
No. I'm glad I did in the end. And I know a lot of people have different opinions on that, and I'm not going to get into that because that's personal to everyone. But for me, I got a lot of more opportunities in specialist education, I think, than I to do things I wouldn't have done if I'd have remained in mainstream.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And what about you, Kelly?
I started off at a sighted nursery part-time, not because I had any sight from birth, so it's not because I could see, it was just because they couldn't place me in school until I was a certain age. So I went to a local nursery sort of half day for a while. Then I went to, with Justine, a nursery that basically was really for partially sighted children because it's the only placement they had. But being of nursery age, we didn't have to do sort of, you know, schoolwork as such. So they would take us until we found a proper school place. And then I went on to specialist education in a boarding school for the blind.
Okay. Excellent.
And I was there from 4 till 17.
Yeah, absolutely. And how does your condition affect you sort of on a daily basis? And do you have any other underlying conditions associated with ROP?
Yeah, for me, basically, because of the prematurity and the level of prematurity in my case, that brings other complications. I have artificial eyes. I had to have both my eyes removed due to pain, scarring, very frequent infections, which caused me high temperatures, which made me struggle through school a lot of the time. Because of being not feeling well, when anyone else would have been at home probably taking something to bring their fever down, but I just had to get on with it. My eyes weren't removed until my first one, I was 11 or 12, and the second one I was 23. Yeah. So there was lots of complications along the way. And it resulted in a lot further surgery to reconstruct the eye sockets after I had them removed. So obviously daily stuff, it's like eye care, caring for artificial eyes, you know, taking them out, cleaning them, sort of making sure my sockets are sort of kept tip top and that sort of thing. As for the other conditions, I mean, obviously, there's lots of things associated with extreme prematurity, but one of the things I find as a blind person that has ROP and the extreme premature side of it is conceptual problems. So for me, I find that I can communicate with people, but I find it difficult to gauge people's reactions towards me. So whether somebody's angry with me or they're just being quiet, whether I've expressed myself adequately to them, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that can be a bit of a problem on a day-to-day basis. If I don't really like, you know, it takes me a while to get to know people and feel confident and comfortable with them.
Sure.
As a result of that, because I also have other health conditions, which means I have a lot of allergies, which is separate to this. But in addition, it means it makes me nervous because I can't see what people's intentions are. If somebody goes to touch me and they've handled something I'm allergic to, that could be a real problem for me.
Yeah, of course. Mm.
And sometimes people get angry because they don't understand my allergies, and they don't understand that because I can't see, I can't, I can't preconceive what they're about to do.
Of course.
And they can take it as a personal rebuff or affront, but, I'm somehow rebuffing them if I don't say shake hands or I don't, touch something they offer me without asking what it is first or, that's a sort of on a day-to-day basis.
You're also very short, aren't you, as well, because of the...
As part of my condition, not the eye condition, but part of the prematurity, I have what's called proportionate dwarfism, so I'm only 4'7".
We only found that out recently, didn't we?
Well, about years ago, yeah. I also have other physical problems, so I'm a wheelchair user as well, out and about, because I had an injury when I was younger, and I also have something called fibromyalgia syndrome.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And what about you, Stephen? Have you, how does it affect you day to day?
Yeah, I mean, sort of similar to Kelly in certain ways, in that I had a lot of eye pain as a child. Mm-hmm. I eventually had to have my both eyes removed in 2008, in the end, because it's kind of weird how it happened. I've been getting a lot more pain in them, but trying to sort of ignore it, and that sounds silly, but my parents were, certainly my mum, and she'd admit this if she was here now, standing here, really had a problem with the idea of me having my eyes removed, because the doctor told my mum when I was a baby that not only by 2010 were they going to be able to do full eye transplants, but that I was going to be the first, he was going to do it on me, and mum should keep my eyes because it would mean that the nerves were there and I'd be able to see. Now, he might have said that with the best of intentions, but what it meant was that, this whole idea of me having my eyes out at any time, my mum would say, over my dead body, you'll have your eyes out.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to tell anybody at first that I was getting more pain. I mean, Kelly guessed.
I realised because it happened to me.
And I basically, the pressure in my right eye dropped.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I literally, I bent forward, and it's going to sound really horrible, but it felt like my eye had fallen forwards.
Oh, ouch.
I literally thought, oh my God, oh my, and we went to the hospital, and this really nice woman doctor sort of said to me, you've got this, the pressure in your eyes dropped. She said, we'll try and give you drops and keep it, stable, but eventually you might need it removing. And I'm like, no, I won't, I'll be fine. Went home. And then it accelerated over about a 10-day period. I went from feeling a bit strange to not being able to bend my head due to pain. I was on codeine for months, which didn't really do anything for the pain, but I took it anyway, sort of thing, because the doctor gave it to me, and then I came off that. And eventually I got under an eye specialist, and he removed the right eye. And they asked me, is your left eye hurting? And I said, yeah, it is, but it's just referral pain from the right eye. And he took the right eye out, and he came down and saw me, and lovely man, still in touch with him as it goes, we are. And he said to me, how are you feeling? And I said, my eye's killing me. And he went, yeah, well, that's the operation. And I actually said, no, it's the other one.
And that was
within an hour of being operated on. Within 7 days, I was on the waiting list to have the left eye removed, which I then had done in the May. And I then had to have reconstructive surgery of both sockets, like Kelly. Different, but what I'm saying is they wouldn't take prosthetic eyes. But now, I'll tell you, I couldn't be more... I wish I'd had it done years ago.
Strange, everything. Isn't it?
Yeah, and the other thing I had, and I don't know if it's more to do with the prematurity rather than the eye condition, as it were, because I know it all links, but because I've got... I'm a bit of a weird one, but I've got epilepsy as well, so I know certain conditions can cross over. When I was a child, when I was tiny, I had a terrible stutter. And when I tell people that, they're really shocked. when I was about two. And it literally disappeared pretty much over. It came on out of the blue and it resolved out of the blue. And that was just prior to me having my first fit. But it was weird because when I was looking up some stuff yesterday online, it actually said that as your brain connections are forming, even after birth, some premature people can temporarily develop a stutter. So that was quite interesting. I didn't know that. The conceptual thing, again, you know, I have that problem as well sometimes. My way of dealing with it, though, is to try and joke my way through it, which doesn't always bode well. because someone might actually be offended and I'm nervous and I'm now joking with them, you know.
Yeah.
A classical case, if I can use it, was this morning. We went to the bank to get some money out and they're asking all these security questions, you know, like they do to sort of make sure that everything, you know, that you are who you say you are. And I'm behind Kelly, a cab driver. He's pushing me because we're both wheelchair users. And he's pushing me and I'm behind Kelly and he's asking, this woman's asking Kelly all these questions about when you last did your... She was new and she didn't know how the system worked. So she's asking Kelly all about bank transactions and she mentioned something and I just tell her, I said, yeah, you do realise if that's not Kelly, you've just told them all about her finances, don't you? And the woman in the front, and I could sort of tell this isn't going down well, but I kind of have this...
I think you're making her nervous.
Irresistible urge to keep digging. I think I can't...
That's funny.
And I just in the end went, I think I'll shut up. Anyway, then I got to the front, and they asked me the same questions.
Oh, God.
And because I'd given mum some money, they turned around and said, oh, you put some money across to your mum, didn't you? I said, oh, yeah.
No, they took it to somebody.
To somebody, yeah. And I said, who was it? And I said, oh, it was my mum. And they said, oh, what's her name? And I said, mum. And they went, what do you call her? I went, well, I call her mum.
And they want to know her given name.
And I went, oh, yeah, that. So, and I do put some of that down to my prematurity. And I know it's slightly different, but we did actually find out, because I've been under the clinic for my epilepsy, that I have an area in my brain. They didn't want to say the word damaged. They use words like insult and unexpected area of, you know, all these weird words. I said, what you're saying is there's an area of damage. Mm. And they went, yeah, sort of on the, you know, in the cerebral part of your brain. Gosh. So I always say that's why I talk rubbish now. So I've got a medical reason to do it now and I've got a scan to prove it. And I sort of like make people laugh. But
that's funny.
He did actually say, the doctor, it would be very interesting to know whether other people who are born prematurely
and have our condition have
these similar abnormalities, you know.
Because there's also something I was going to come on to, which is associational stuff.
Oh, God,
we
yeah.
We have found over the years, just by ourselves, each other, and observation, not in a horrible way, but with people that share our condition, the way sometimes that we associate things.
Right. I don't, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, it is.
But,
a bit,
you sort of get, I'm trying to think of an example. Someone came on TV the other day and they had a surname of somebody who we know. So I turned to Kelly and go, I wonder if they're related to so-and-so.
Yeah.
And Kelly goes, oh, yeah, you never know, they might be. And we laugh. Now, other people would sit there and go, what are you talking about?
But it also might be an object or an item, the way you relate to it.
Yeah.
Whereas other people don't sort of get it.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. But, yeah, there's relating to things sometimes. And other people who we've spoken to with our condition, and when we've given them examples, they've gone,
I do that.
So I think there are things that sort of tie in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So once you left school, what did you both go on to do?
I went on to college, did general certificate of education, I did CPVE, which was just general studies of a bit of everything really to see what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
I then had, I did basic office skills, but I didn't want to do office work at all, but I did want, you know, to be able to write using a keyboard and so on. And I thought, well, it being totally blind, it's always useful to be able to write print in some form.
Definitely.
And then I had a break because I was having extensive eye surgery. I was going to say, with the eye thing as well, you can get hemorrhaging with it. You know, with the with this eye condition as well, you can get hemorrhaging behind the eyes.
Yeah, right. Sorry, that was just...
So that can cause complications. We both had that. Yeah. So I had to have time off to have further eye surgery. So that was... I had an implant put in my left eye when I was 11 with a view to putting a shell over the top, a hard shell, rather than a full prosthetic eye. And that had to be taken out because it went wrong. I then had... you know, my right eye removed, another surgery to reconstruct the socket. So I had a few years off. Then I went back to college, to a different college, again, specialist college, and I trained as a complementary therapist.
Mm-hmm. You stalked me,
right.
Really?
It was RNC, wasn't it? You went
stalked me first at school, no, so I thought I'd stalk you back.
We were at the same college. Sorry, that's why I said that. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yep. Sure. So you did complementary medicine.
Yeah, he was doing.
Oh, and what about you, Stephen?
I went to, after I left Lyndon in 1993, I went on to RNC in Hereford, where I did, well, it's rather ambiguous, really, because I originally wanted to do piano tuning. But because of my conditions, my coordination was not good enough to do the repairs, so I didn't get accepted there. So I was accepted to do 2 years business studies. So I did single subjects, and that year was brilliant, actually. I didn't mind that. Then I went on to GNVQ2, and due to having various things and problems with my eyes, I had a calcium deposit build up on the cornea of my eye, which caused a lot of pain and various other things. I ended up getting behind in the GNVQ and going on to do, I ended up doing foundation. But most people say to me, what did you study at college? And I always tell people, I make you laugh myself, don't I, Kelly? I say, I studied life at college. I say, life skills.
You know? He had life skills with a difference, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it was like pubs. I was supporting them, making sure that they stayed open. One of the positives...
Shops, pubs, yeah.
One of the things I always laugh about, I don't mind admitting this because, you know, when I left school, no matter how hard the school tried to teach me, they could not get me to count. So, you know, like when you spend money and you get change back. Yeah. I could not picture it in my head. Maths was absolutely awful. I mean, I staggered through my maths. Mm-hmm. I did certain things, but I couldn't work change out.
Yeah.
And they say smoking's bad for your health, and I gave up. And you know, that's all brilliant. But one of the ways that taught me how to count change was repetitively going down the shop, buying, you know, so many and getting a certain amount of change back. And suddenly one evening, the penny dropped with a clonk, so to speak, and I'm thinking, that's how that works. And I came home at half term one day and I said, Dad, did you know X, Y, Z? He went, good God, they're teaching you something at that place. And it suddenly, but it was kind of, I often think that sometimes when we actually just get into doing things every day.
It's practical, isn't it?
That's when things fall into place sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Hammer away at school or college and we can't get to, but yeah, I enjoyed my time at college and it was good. Happy memories.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I think we've probably just about come to the end of the interview. Is there anything you'd like to add before we finish?
I think I would say to anybody who's going through what we went through when we were younger, either as children or growing up respectively, and is frightened, you know, of what the future holds, don't be frightened to say how you're feeling to somebody you trust, whether that be a family member, a friend or a doctor. You know, you're not going crazy. Strange things happen sometimes. You can feel like, with your eyes especially, the way things can change and you get pain and then, you know, or eye pressure changes and drops. You can feel like you're going crazy, but you're not. Speak to somebody, get the help you need. And, you know, it can sometimes feel a bit like it's never ending, especially if you're going through treatment or changes, but it is, it does end, there is an end to it, and it can, yeah. You can be helped to feel physically better. I'm not saying your sight can be helped necessarily, it depends on the person and the level of disease they have, obviously. But, you know, there is help out there. It's just a case of pushing on with it, really, and talking to the right people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really good advice. Yeah, definitely. Thank you both so much for giving us your time. Yeah,
thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
The way I look at it, if it helps somebody else, when I was going through it, there wasn't anyone to speak to. I mean, one of the things I will say, because I don't know whether other people experience this or not, but when I had, after I had my eye removed, you know, like people say they get phantom pains in limbs when they've been removed?
Yeah.
You can get that in your eyes, and they didn't list it back then. No.
And some people, if they've had a level of vision in that eye, after it's been removed, they can see colour and shadows. Their brain tells them that they can see colour and shadows, though there's no eye there to actually see anything with.
You know, it's a matter of adjustment. And I told them about the pain level because it hit me out of nowhere. And I was actually in the middle of a road with my dad. And had my dad not have been there, I probably wouldn't be here today, because it was breathtakingly, you know, that moment that stops you dead still. And if a car was aiming at you, you couldn't move out the way, pain.
Yeah.
And I said to them, you know, this happens, and they went, oh, we hadn't considered that. But as a result of that, they now tell, you know, by the time it came to
Time it came to me, they actually sat me down and said, look, we don't want to frighten you because this needs doing.
But if this happens, we can give you pain relief.
It's treated as an amputation now.
And
away. And that's the other thing. It does go away with time, and it does become less than you know. When it first happened to me, I remember thinking, oh my God, you know, what's going on? And I had this thing where I was standing in the bathroom trying to put my eye in, but then fighting with my own mind because I thought, I can't put my eye in. There's already like an eye there. It was really kind of weird, but there wasn't. And I had to literally put my hand up and feel and then go, don't be silly. But it does go away.
As you get over the surgery, it lessens.
Yeah, it does
become less. But it is a shock at first. But my point was, they didn't used to tell people. But as a result of me keeping on the pressure, as it were, to say, look, you should tell people about this. People need to know, because it
doesn't happen to everybody.
But it could do. They now have taken that on board, and they do inform people before their surgery.
Right. That's really good to hear.
Yeah. Well, thank you again so much for you know, taking the time out to chat to us today.
Thank you. I hope
we've been able to
useful information, if nothing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. All right.